In this episode, I'm talking to Anna Stevenson. She's head of marketing and communications at Norwich School, and Katerina Ruloffs. She's director of marketing and admissions at Headington School. Let's get into it right now.
Welcome back to the AmKiss podcast, brought to you by the Bonjour Agency. AmKiss is the Association for Admissions, Marketing and Communications in Independent Schools. And this is the podcast where we speak to people in the independent school sector. Let's get into this episode right now.
Anna and Katerina, it's great to talk to you both. Anna, first of all, how are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. Back at school after the AmKiss conference. Very, very busy.
Well, it's one of those things, isn't it, when you get back to school and probably all of those emails have been piling up and you need to fit back into everyday school life while at the same time not lose some of the inspiration that we've taken from the conference. Katerina, you're back in school as well. I can see from your background there. How's the wonderful world of Headington right now?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's busy. We've got lots of pupils off now on study leave and the excitement and stress of exams, of course, as well. But yeah, no, it's great. The sun is shining. The grounds look lovely. It's a wonderful place to be.
Fabulous. Fabulous. And you're the Director of Marketing and Admissions at Headington. Tell us a little bit about how long you've been there for and just a little bit about yourself.
So I've been here for a year and I didn't work in schools before this. So my background comes from working in government communications and marketing. So I worked in central government in London for about 15 years at the Department of Health, the Department for Education and the Foreign Office. So Headington, we're looking for someone with that marketing background. And here I am.
Fantastic. Well, welcome to Headington after 12 months of being there. It feels a little bit late to say that, but never mind. It's like in the new year, isn't it? When people carry on saying Happy New Year and it's like the end of January and you're thinking, oh, it's a little bit late for that, but never mind. So Headington, of course, is a girls' school. Anna, you're at Norwich School, which is a co-ed school.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what you do there.
Well, I'm head of marketing and communications here, and I've been in the role for 3 years now, but my children have been at the school since they were seven, and my oldest is leaving next year. So he's 17 at the moment, doing his A-levels.
Okay, gosh.
So I've known the school for a long time.
Yeah. So you've joined as a parent. That's quite a common move, actually, isn't it, for a marketing team to recruit from the parent body, because if someone's got the right skills and if they know the school from a parent point of view, then that's gold dust, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I definitely think the knowledge of the school helps enormously in the role. And I was involved in the PTA, we call it Friends of Norwich School as well, prior to the role. So I really was very familiar with the schools, and that massively helped because, like Katerina, I hadn't worked in schools before.
Let's jump back to the AmKiss conference. It was a few days ago. Tell us about your experience, Anna. How did you find it?
I think it's such a great event. I really enjoyed it. It's the second year I've been. As somebody who hasn't worked in education before, it's really, really helpful to talk to people who are in the same sector. Obviously, marketing is in my blood. I've been doing marketing for nearly 30 years now. But marketing in schools is quite a unique thing. So to share ideas with peers and to talk to peers about their experiences, and very often sharing the same experience, is really interesting.
And Katerina, tell me your takeouts from it. What were some of your key takeaways? What would you say?
I think something that really resonated with me was the start of the conference when Kate Hardcastle spoke about the fact that decisions tend to be motivated by emotions. And I think that's so important in the school sector. You know, people are investing in their child, not necessarily in the school, but in their child. And they want to know what we can, you know, can we make those dreams a reality for them? So the key takeaways from the other sessions I went to all fed into that, around the importance of personalization, about building those relationships with prospective families, with agents, finding out what agents are saying about your school, of course, as well. That came up quite strongly. Now, it's, as we know, it's a competitive market. So the other thing that came up a few times about, is there such a thing as a unique selling point anymore? All the schools have got fantastic facilities. They've got really similar aspects to them. So do we need to talk more about strong selling points rather than unique selling points? I thought that was an interesting discussion that came up in one of the sessions I was in.
Katerina, just pause that for a second. Anna, what are your thoughts on this?
I agree completely. I think Katerina and I were in quite a few of the same sessions, particularly the one about overseas missions, international missions. And it is that whole, is there such a thing as a unique selling point in independent education? And I think the example that they used was somebody who went to a school that had alpacas, and you would think that that was unique and no other school would do that. And then they said, show of hands, does anyone have alpacas in their school? And more than one person put their hands up. So even that wasn't a USP. So I think we're looking at KSPs and also, you know, what sets us apart for the individual as, you know, the personalized journey. So I think for us as a school, it's not just obviously the education element is extremely important, but it's whether the school fits for the pupils and the families, for the co-curriculum, for all the other opportunities that are available to our pupils.
Now, of course, we do get a number of different workshops and keynote speakers coming along to share their wisdom and their experience with us all, which is great to go along and participate in. Some of the speakers came from outside of the education sector. Tell me your thoughts on whether you think it's a good thing to have people from outside the sector coming in and talking to us.
I definitely think it's a good thing. I think certainly from being outside the sector myself, you come into the sector and the school day is so busy and you kind of get wrapped up in the school life and how school runs. And actually to have an independent view, some fresh eyes looking into the sector with, you know, with a slightly different perspective, I think is really important and really valuable.
Katerina?
I agree. And it actually came up in the Confidence Index panel discussion as well around whether we should be recruiting people into our teams from outside the sector and all the experience that they bring in. And I know I had discussions with schools about things such as, for example, there were some schools looking at branding agencies, and there was questions around, well, should we all be using education branding agencies because we'll all end up looking the same with our blue tablecloths, or should we bring in outside expertise to bring in that fresh view? And I think it's really important that we listen to what people outside of the sector are doing and learn from it.
Do you think maybe there's a little bit of fear of stepping outside of, I'm just thinking back to years ago, I used to work in telecoms and IT, and there used to be a phrase, which is, you'll never get sacked for buying IBM. So, you know, for any big customer out there, if they bought IBM, it was such a safe bet. But you'd never be breaking the mold and doing anything radically different. I'm not suggesting that a regular school supplier doesn't ever do anything different. But do you think that there's a level of confidence and self-assurance that's required within the marketing manager to step outside of a known and trusted school supplier when it comes to buying in a service like a website provider or something like that?
Well, I've actually just done that. So when I joined, I wanted a new website for the school, and it is due. So it was agreed. And a few web agencies who specialize in education were suggested to me, but actually, and we went out to tender, and the successful agency that is now designing our new website is actually an old pupil who has done a couple of school sites, but not a specialist in education. I think as a school, we know what we want our site to look like. We've got a real vision for that. So what we're looking for is not necessarily education specialisms, because we know education, that's what we do. It's building the site and actually the familiarization of the school, the fact that this person went to the school, knows the school inside out, knows the lived and breathed the school for many years, I think was really important. And that was a key selling factor for us to appoint outside of the education sector.
Mm-hmm. Katerina, what are your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, I agree. And there's always a mix. You know, there are certain suppliers that we've worked with for a long time who we know are fantastic, especially if you're doing perhaps filming with young children. You need to know that they're able to engage with them and get the best out of them. But there's also times when it's fantastic to get people in from outside of the sector. So we announced a merger with another school back in September. And I used some suppliers from outside of the industry, for example, to create our videos, to get those messages across. And I thought it was fantastic to bring someone else into the mix.
And that merger being Rice and Anthony, I'm presuming?
Yes.
Okay. Right. How's that all going, by the way? Because clearly that is a big thing to do.
Yes, no, it's going very well. So we announced the merger with Rice and Anthony, and they are directly on our doorstep. There is just a footpath between our school and their school. So we announced that back in September. That was a very big communications piece with all sorts of different elements, working with all the different stakeholders, whether they are current pupils, parents, staff, of course, as well, feeder schools, agents, other people within the sector. So we had lots of different stakeholders, and we had communications plans for each of those. It was a big set piece. And the last year now since then, it's not quite a year, but since September, has been working about starting to make this merger reality, working very closely together with our new colleagues at Rice and Anthony, and we're working across sites and we are doing all sorts of things together. It's really exciting.
Yeah, busy times, exciting times, all sounds very, very good. Let's just jump back to the conference for a moment. Of course, we all saw Tory there, and we all heard Tory's news, of course, that in roughly a year or so, she's going to be moving on. But she wrote in a recent article that she thinks there's a paradigm shift in how schools now view admissions, marketing and communications. And that what is emerging is not a merely a series of isolated campaigns, but a sophisticated orchestration of initiatives that encompass every facet of school life. I don't know whether or not you saw that article, but whether or not you did, what are your thoughts on that, on what she's writing there?
Yes, I do agree with that. I mean, every school is different, and this will come from the top, so it will depend on the senior leadership team. It's definitely something that I see here at Headington, and I think with some of the challenges the sector is going to face, I think it is important that we do that. And I'm definitely proud to work in a school that puts that at the forefront and making sure that all our campaigns are well thought out and it's part of a cohesive strategic whole.
Anna, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree entirely. We've done something along those lines in terms of we launched a new campaign a couple of years ago called One School, Many Voices. And everything we now do falls into that campaign. And it's not really a campaign, it's the ethos of the whole school, because we are one school with many, many voices. And it's allowed us to be really flexible and incorporate every element of the school, whether that's dance or drama or partnerships or academic, sport, everything. It all gives a voice to those elements of the school. And it means that we can be really, really flexible and incorporate every facet of school life, as Tori says.
And I guess that events like the AMCIS conference, it just gives a bit of freedom to think about the bigger picture, to think about these kinds of things. But there is always the risk, isn't there, that once we all return to the office, we do get swallowed up by emails or people coming and knocking on the door saying, oh, I'm glad you're back because, and then you get pulled into ad hoc meetings left, right and centre. How do you go about putting into practice some of the things that you've taken away from the conference, Anna?
Well, I don't know about Katerina, but I took extensive notes throughout the conference. And so that whatever happens, I can refer back to those notes and they're fresh in my mind. I've already set meetings to discuss various elements. So international admissions, our other admissions team. You come back with ideas that you want to implement. As you say, though, school life continues its leavers day to day. So we're very, very busy with sixth form all coming in for the last time before they head off on study leave. And that's always very emotional. And so, yes, school life tends to swallow you up, but I try and carve out planning sessions at least once every other week if I can. And then definitely during the holidays is a really good time to put those plans in action.
And how do you manage the abundance of emails that I presume come into your inbox along with everybody else?
Yes, I have to say I've worked in a number of different industries, and this has been the busiest in terms of email traffic. And I think it's just because, you know, especially with our campaign, actually, I've seen that increase in the last couple of years as teachers have really embraced the campaign. So they've said, oh, could you possibly put our modern foreign languages literature into the One School, Many Voices branding? And could you put your branding on this? And so actually, it's lovely to see the entire school engaging, but that does involve a lot of email traffic. I have a fantastic team. So it all tends to come into me. And then I'm sort of the hub that sort of passes it on to others to do the work as well as doing it myself. But yes, it's just a case of trying to keep on top of it. And then as the holidays come, you catch up again and stop chasing your tail for a little bit.
Anna, it sounds to me like you're running a tight ship there, which is really good to hear. Katerina, how do you manage the emails that come in? But also, to go back to the question beforehand, how do you put into practice some of the inspiration that you've taken away from the conference?
I would echo quite a lot of what Anna said. It's about carving out that time. And often that is during the school holidays when the email traffic does die down a little bit. Well, teachers might not be around. So there's often time then. There's things that I'm already looking at since the conference. I've had several discussions with the team about some things that we might want to implement already. So some of those things I'm already looking at. Other things are longer term strategic work that will happen over a period of time. And I think it's important to carve out the time to do that. And it's about time management and prioritizing. We have to do that all the time. And that flow of emails isn't going to stop, but we somehow do find the time to do it.
Yeah, it does feel like a constant battle. You know, whether someone's listening to this and they're working in a school, or maybe they're not working in a school, it does seem to be a fairly common theme amongst everybody these days that there is just so much email that comes in. And then working on those bigger, more important things, as you say, you need to carve out the time for it. And maybe school holiday time is the time to do that. Well, we've got a half term coming up, so maybe that's going to be a good opportunity for some of the people listening. So for each of you, fun open question here. If I gave each of you a magic wand and said, I'm going to resolve one problem for you just with the swish of a magic wand, what would each of you want to have resolved in your school, in your marketing department?
I would say that resource is always a challenge, because I've never worked in a sector where I know that however many people I took on, I could give them enough work to justify that role. But obviously there's a limit to how much the budget will allow for staff. So yes, I think resources is one. I think if you were going to fix a wider issue, if you could fix the VAT on school fees issue, that would be lovely. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Okay. Magic wand. Let's fix VAT. That would be a pretty amazing thing to do. Katerina, yeah. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you could fix VAT and perhaps the decreasing birth rates, that would be absolutely fantastic. I do think I'm quite lucky in this, in terms of the senior team that I do work with at Headington. But I think getting some of those messages across around the fact that we're doing fantastic campaigns, and yes, we see lots of registrations come through and we get some great traction on the campaigns that we do, but we know in the future there will be a decrease perhaps in people looking for private education, and the fact that you can't fix that through marketing or communications. So ensuring there's a better understanding around that.
Katerina, obviously Anna's talking to us today from a co-ed school. Headington is a girls' school. Some single-sex schools are going co-ed. What's Headington's position on this right now?
Well, with our merger, we're going co-ed in our prep school in September.
Of course, yeah.
But we did have a co-ed prep school until 2008, so it's not quite such a big shift. But we remain single-sex and intend to remain single-sex in the senior school. We think that's really important. There are quite a lot of changes. While I was at the AMCUS conference, one of our local schools announced that they were going co-ed. So it is definitely something that is happening a lot more. But we think the importance of single-sex education for girls is so important. When you walk into our STEM classrooms, you know, the number of girls wanting to do engineering, they're doing physics, they're doing all those sorts of subjects, and they're not one girl alone in a class of, you know, 20 boys. I think it is really, really important to maintain that, and we are very much dedicated to that.
And of course, for some parents, the idea of sending their daughter to a girls' school is exactly what they want. And for other parents, of course, what they'd rather have is to send their child to a co-ed school. So it is great that we have those available options to parents. But how do you find things in school right now regarding co-ed? And in fact, with Norwich, I don't know whether you used to be single sex. Forgive me.
We did, yes. So we were, it was single sex, it was boys' school. And I think it was about 20 years ago that we started taking girls. And yeah, it's worked very, very well. And obviously the school is busy and has grown in recent years. And our biggest challenge is space, because obviously we're based around the beautiful, beautiful Norwich Cathedral Close, and it's a privilege to be here. But these are old buildings and they don't lend themselves well to a lot of work. So we are, you know, at a size that we're comfortable with at the moment, and we're doing a couple of developments which are really to enhance the facilities for existing pupils rather than growing the school.
It's good to hear. That really is. And then a final question for both of you. 2 months from now, we'll be in summer holidays, which sounds like it'll be a beautiful time of year, of course. Not that we all get that time off, like teaching staff, but nevertheless, things do get a little bit quieter. And we do, as we talked about earlier, have that opportunity to carve out a bit more time to work on the bigger pictures. But outside of school, what plans do each of you have for maybe getting away for a little bit of time during summer holidays?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a great time to focus on some of the strategic work, to think about what it is that we are doing, you know, which direction we want to go in for the next year. But it's also important to have a bit of time away. I like to be more flexible with my team and our working patterns during the summer, which is really important to have that, have a bit of flexibility in an environment where that isn't always possible to do things like work from home or work slightly different hours. It doesn't really work well in the school's environment. So to be able to do that and to, you know, go for a longer walk at lunchtime in order to spend some time thinking about what we do. So it's really important for me to spend some time doing that in the summer holidays. And of course, I'll be looking at taking some time off as well.
Katerina, if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you choose to go? Somewhere you've never been before?
Japan.
Oh, straight in with that answer.
Yeah.
You're getting a nod from Anna there as well.
To Japan. It's definitely the country that I'd most like to visit one day.
Very good. Very good. Anna, where would you like to go? You can go anywhere in the world.
Well, Japan is on our list as well. My children are desperate to go. So I think we're looking at possibly next year for that one. Next year is a horrible year for us. My oldest does his A-levels and my youngest GCSEs. So we won't be going anywhere until after next summer.
Well, sympathies for that. I'm sure that everything will go well, though. And Anna, your plans for this summer, do you have anything lined up?
I tend to go away, if I'm going to go away, in October half term. It's taken me a really long time to figure out the best time to go. And, you know, in my first year, I made the mistake of going on holiday immediately after we broke up in the summer holiday. And that's not a great time to go away. And so I've figured out that October half term is pretty good, because you've started the year, you've had September open morning, and the year is sort of running quite smoothly. And so, yeah, if you can go away then. So we are going away then. Otherwise, I'm just around. I'll be doing work and a few days off here and there over the summer.
Well, I hope you manage to get some decent time off. Same for you, Katerina. If anyone's listening to this, maybe they want to connect with you. Are you both on LinkedIn?
Yes indeed. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll put links to your LinkedIn profiles in the show notes for this episode. But in the meantime, both of you, thank you so much for your time. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you, Simon, very much. Thank you.
That's it for this episode. To find out more about MKIS, just visit the website mkis.co.uk. This episode was produced by the Bonjour Agency. The next episode will be out soon, but in the meantime, thank you for listening. Bye for now.